everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode features a chat with Wrestling Observer's Mike Sempervivi and was recorded August 17th, 2017. Here's episode 55 of The Great American Bash.
Do you smell what Barack has cooked?
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel and sometimes home of Universal Champion Donald Trump.
My wife went to that hotel for a business lunch.
Really?
It was dead.
Really? Well,
it's August in D.C., and that's a slow period, but it was there was no... I guess people didn't want to go to that restaurant or hotel for some reason.
All right, well...
We'll get to why that would be.
This is a show about presidential politics and pro wrestling and the intersections of the two. We began this show about a year ago during the conventions when I was there covering them. And then things changed and there was some booking on the fly. And Donald Trump became Universal Champion. In that time, we've also released a book.
It's called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. It's available now on Amazon as an ebook and Audible book.
It's available at DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com and PresidentWrestler.com, which we hope we made it very clear is not affiliated with any alt-right, neo-Nazi, white supremacist. We bought that URL in 2016 thinking this might happen, and we got swerved like the rest of the country, and it did happen. And here we are.
And here we are on day 209 of the Donald's Universal U.S. title reign. It's Thursday, August 17th, 8:25 a.m. After his first tweets in the morning, but before any big stories have developed. So we're going to go with our big show, which has been the big show for the last about 5 days, is the events in Charlottesville. Anyone listening to this, anyone in America knows what happened. There were... white nationalists, neo-Nazis, KKK members protesting the removal of a statue of Robert E. Lee. There was counter-protesters, the counter-protesters were brought together because they don't like white nationalists, the neo-Nazis, and KKK. One counter-protester was murdered when someone drove their car through a crowd of people. And we've just been, as everyone has been following day by day as the Donald's statements have evolved. The quick rundown on that would be at Saturday. That's the day it happened.
It happened on Saturday around noon.
And this was, by Saturday night, a statement released. We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides, on many sides.
So that, yeah, that was in the afternoon.
So that was the first thing. People had an issue with the fact that he said there was violence on many sides.
So at first you could justify that. You could sort of rationalize that being like, well, technically there are two sides. Clearly one side is in the right and clearly
yes.
One side is in the wrong.
One is morally legally right, but yes.
So that's what a lot of pundits said on the Sunday morning news shows and or wait till he has an official response.
Right. On Sunday, the statement that was released was the president has said very strongly in his statement yesterday, he condemns all forms of violence, bigotry, and hatred. Of course, that includes white supremacists, KKK, neo-Nazi, and all extremist groups. Once again, adding this catch-all. Mm-hmm. For anyone else not included in white nationalists, KKK, and neo-Nazis. By Monday, that still was not enough because the president had still not explicitly called out these groups. So by Monday...
We should make it clear, though, on Sunday, that was a written statement. And on Saturday, initially, that was at his golf club, and he spoke.
Yeah.
And then when reporters yelled questions at him, he would not respond.
Correct. He was on his golf course. Come on. Mm-hmm. Busy. Monday, his quote, racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups. A catch-all once again. And so, as the nation is figuring out, like, is the president coming out strong enough against these groups? How did this happen? How did we have neo-Nazis in the KKK kill somebody in 2017 on the streets? Why isn't, you know, what's happening to this country? Tuesday came.
So Tuesday.
Tuesday in Texas. No, it wasn't in Texas.
Tuesday, an impromptu press conference in the lobby of Trump Tower.
Yes. You could tell by the gold.
Some like to call it. For those in the know, we call it New York. So, an impromptu press conference about business regulation, something
infrastructure.
That something that could have like really affected both the WWE and SBA head Linda McMahon. Yeah. If this was a successful rollout, she would have been there.
Yeah,
and things would have been that would have been the story, but it wasn't the
story.
Do you
think she's glad she wasn't there?
I think she's pretty glad.
So Trump, who often gets very testy when members of the fake news media question him. Equivocated the quote-unquote alt-left, and I'm putting that in quotes because that's not a thing. It's not. Alt-right is a catch-all term and a euphemism for white. It's when you don't want to type out white nationalist, neo-Nazis, KKK.
Did you see, somewhat related side note, did you see that the AP style is now saying that that is not the correct term for alt-right?
They are saying white nationalists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because so, it's alt-right is a euphemism.
Exactly.
It makes it sound like alt-country or something.
Exactly.
And Wilco is not a member of the alt-right.
Thank you for saying that. I know you're anti-Jeff Tweedy, but you made a proud stance.
They did a song, though,
they did.
Didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
And about being alt-left. So the alt-left is not a thing. Alt-left is Americans who don't like neo-Nazis, the KKK, and white nationalists. So that's not a term either. He said that, you know, a lot of people were screaming. Alt-left didn't have a permit to counter-protest. And
you're not supposed to have a favorite part of any of these, but that was my favorite part.
Yeah, he did said not all white nationalists, not all men, not all white nationalists are Nazis.
Here's the thing, like teenage Brandon Weatherby, that's my name. I was like, yeah, we should take those guys had slaves. We should take that down. We shouldn't glorify that. Yeah,
yeah.
That's great.
Geraldo was like, what's next? Getting rid of Christopher Columbus? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Do that.
Was,
yeah.
He was a rapist and committed genocide. Yeah, please do that. No, but that last point is important because that's a right wing, that's an alt-right, that's a white nationalist KKK neo-Nazi talking point is that you can't, if you oppose Robert E. Lee, you're opposed to George Washington.
Great, yeah.
So he's, now those talking points have made their way in. But basically, the doubling down on all this hasn't been great for Trump.
This is... been the worst week in terms of this has been the worst week since the presidency
mm-hmm.
in terms of actually mobilizing hatred. The Muslim
yes.
ban was kind of great because it was almost instantly shut down
mm-hmm.
and people from all 50 states pretty much said like this is a bad idea, and even those that supported it couldn't justify it for very long. Court struck it down because there's no actual court case in this, and there's a clear right and a clear
yeah.
wrong, and the universal champion won't stand behind the good side.
Yeah.
This makes it much sadder in a way. Also, this seemingly has no end. With the Muslim ban, you go to court. There
yeah.
is an end to that. And then wrestling news is the saddest week of the show. But before we get to that, this is the premise that you've had
mm-hmm.
longer than me. The only thing that will cause Trump to drop the belt is to get X-Pac heat.
So once again, X-Pac heat. Heat being the reaction from the crowd, usually that a heel gets. That's what you want when you're telling a story. You want people to boo the bad guy. If you've watched Glow, which I finally have, heat is what Alison Brie was trying to get by being a Russian during the Cold War. So X-Pac heat, in reference to a wrestler named X-Pac, was when he was getting booed, but it wasn't because he was a heel. It's because people were tired of him. They were tired of his gimmick. They were tired of him being on the TV, and they were booing, just please go away, trying to tell the powers that be, we're done with this guy. And that's been the premise for how we brought this together with wrestling and with the current state of the Trump administration, is that, yes, when his supporters, specifically his supporters, say enough of this guy, that's when the GOP won't be able to distance themselves in a real way, and actually, whether it's impeachment or whether... whatever it is, that's where there'll be actual change. So this is the closest we've gotten to that. We've had people, we had his business councils fall apart this week. Basically, a lot of CEOs were resigning.
Yeah, we should make that clear. Yeah. On Monday, was it Monday or Tuesday? I'm pretty sure it was Tuesday.
It was after the double down.
No, it was before the double down.
Okay.
When Merkel decided to pull out, and then two others joined him. Merck, sorry. When Merck pulled out, and the CEO, who happens to be black, got a response on Twitter in less than an hour from the Universal Champion saying, hey, this guy is not cool. I'm the coolest. He condemned him leaving the business council much earlier than he...
Oh, yeah. No, quicker. That was the first... Oh, then he condemned the...
Then he condemned...
The neo-Nazi murderer.
The guy that murdered the lady.
Yes.
So, that's one... We should not forget that.
Right.
Then all these other businesses started getting pressure. Under Armour pulled out, etc. Then Campbell's Soup pulled out just under the wire before they disbanded the council yesterday.
Yes. They were releasing their press release that they were disbanding the council, the CEOs, and then Trump scooped them and tweeted saying, you can't fire me.
Exactly.
You're fired. And disbanded them himself.
If you've read our book, you could have seen this coming. If you did not read our book, please read our book, because Trump really hasn't been a businessman for roughly 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
He went bankrupt, kept his stuff because his name was valuable. He's been a brander. He does not run the territories. He just puts his name on the arena.
He's the chief brand executive officer. He is Stephanie McMahon.
He does not build anything. He has not built anything in a long time. His name is on the Trump International Hotel. He did not build that.
Right.
They won naming rights.
Yeah, they won naming rights. So is this X-Pac heat? You have... So people in the business community have decided that white nationalist neo-Nazis in the KKK is bad for business. But the GOP members of Congress, party leaders, ex-presidents have all come out also against white nationalists, KKK, and neo-Nazis. They have not specifically come out against Donald Trump because no one has put Donald Trump's name in any of their statements.
So this is what I think is interesting. When you and I talk about X-Pac Geek, we very rarely mention that X-Pac was part of a faction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Generation X, baby.
And who runs Degeneration X? Who runs DX?
In its second popular version,
yes.
Triple H.
Okay. Therefore, it doesn't matter how much heat X-Pac has. We know X-Pac was a bad dude, both in ring and out of ring. And yes, he had X-Pac heat, but no matter what, at the end of the day, he was going to be protected because he was in the faction that had the most power, both backstage and on stage.
Okay, so, and then finish that analogy for politics.
If Trump loses, the people that decided to vote with him, that were independents, the people that voted for Obama twice and Bush twice, people that always want to go with the...
Sure, I disagree with that voting block, but that exists, but that's fine.
He could lose. Okay, so Trump currently has a 33% approval rating, and 14% of those people will never leave him. 14% total of his support. So roughly 50% of the people that like him will never leave him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that maintains. I believe that is true. Therefore, he does not care, and I think he might run as a spoiler in 2020 if he is not impeached, and he will never lose that base, and he will never lose that income like X-Pac.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Sure. And that is his base, and he's clearly speaking directly to them. And this isn't necessarily a cynical thing to just hold on to those people. He's been this guy forever.
Yeah.
One of his first forays into anything political was the Central Park Five case. He's often, before that even, a federal case against the Trump Organization's housing. He's often been a racist in the public space.
You can argue that without racism, we don't know Donald Trump. The reason why the Village Voice did a giant profile of the dude and his dad in the late 70s is because of their housing practices in the late 70s.
Yeah.
That was the first big profile on the guy.
Racism
literally put him on the map.
Yeah. Yeah, he got those good profiles starting with discriminating against many, many people.
So do you think people are going to be bummed out when they figure out that Steve Bannon wasn't in Trump's ear during the Central Park Five and wasn't in Trump's ear in 1977 about housing practices and collecting rent?
Someone should tell John Oliver that. I think it would just eviscerate Trump.
Speaking of Steve Bannon, that is currently the story of the day. It seems like, just throwing this out here, it seems like this faction knows how to tell a story that people think that they can't tell the story. And are really good at deflecting.
Yeah, remember when North Korea? Remember when we were almost in World War III? That's like, that's not happening anymore, which is great. That's a good thing. I wish it didn't have to happen because of neo-Nazis in the KKK and this pivoting from issue to issue and just having a crazy person in the
office. It is currently Thursday morning, Wednesday evening, very late Wednesday evening. I went to bed at midnight and this still wasn't out. Bannon did an interview with American Prospect.
A liberal, very liberal, progressive magazine.
Yeah, and so this is some of the highlights. People in the White House and outside of it are, quote, wetting themselves, end quote, at the prospect of Steve Bannon's future plans. He's worried about China a lot. He referred to the type of hate groups that marched in Charlottesville as, quote, a collection of clowns, end quote. Fun fact, the March on Washington organized by the Juggalos is on the same day as a pro-Trump rally, and it's about a month away. I think it's September 16th.
I'm so excited.
There's a lot of vitriol going on both sides. As wrestling fans, we are clearly on the Juggalo side.
They had a wrestling promotion. They wrestled in WWF.
And not only as wrestling fans, but as human beings, clearly on the side of small businesses like the Juggalos. I don't know if people realize this. ICP is one of the biggest, like, small economies in the state of Michigan. They produce all of their gear there. Yeah. They've done more for Pure Michigan than Tim Allen and Kid Rock combined. Why don't we run ICP? Just brand new thought.
Just putting it out there.
Anyways, like, this is the narrative that you're going to be hearing all day. Bannon is not necessarily in step with President Trump. Sorry, with Universal Champion Trump about stance in North Korea. Doesn't think that military can solve a problem like that because he's right.
He's a realist. Yeah.
So this was, people are referring to this as his Scaramucci moment. I would tend to disagree. This was just Bannon doing what I think is incredibly great management. He is protecting the business. He's protecting himself.
He's advocating, and
And no one else can do it like he can do it. He's only given, like, one, I think, on-camera interview the entire time, and that was at a conference at the MGM Grand in National Harbor.
Amazing. This is an interesting story to watch as it develops. There's been rumors consistently since the inauguration, basically, that Bannon was on his way out. It really depends on the mood of the president. Depends what's in his folder that day. Bannon's been there the whole time. Miller's still there. Now that they have a new chief of staff, you know, who knows? This is like the Kremlinology, trying to figure out who's in power that day. But look who we're dealing with. There's not an overarching thing. It really is how he feels in the last guy in his ear. So
I'd also like to point out Bannon is rich because of Seinfeld. He gets money from Seinfeld and send with a TV show.
Yeah. Well, because one of his main theories is that Seinfeld controls the media. So no, we're not going to go there. Okay. Let's see how much he actually believes in this stuff. Let's see what his next steps is.
This is a weird thing to say. I don't think Bannon believes the racism gimmick as much as Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's just perceptions are flipped. I do think he's racist. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, no. But he knows, you know, where's the money, baby? And the money for him with Breitbart, with this administration, has been in white nationalism, the neo-Nazis, and the KKK.
Part of me also, somewhat related tangent, I somewhat believe that a lot of people we know, a lot of people in this town,
It's been a nice podcast, everybody. Brandon said the magic words.
Are not as racist and or sexist as their on-camera personas appear to be. Because I don't know if you guys know this, it's much more difficult to get booked if you're on the right side of history at all times versus you're just saying the crazy shit.
Right.
Therefore, I think Bannon it's time to play the game. Bannon reads Triple H's theme song lyrics because him and Lemmy are the same dude.
Very good.
They kind of look alike.
Yeah.
Lemmy's dead, by the way.
Yeah. Speaking of someone who's not dead yet, I don't want to end the show with this, but no, we do have to make mention. Ric Flair, wrestling, probably the best wrestler of all time, not in great health. He's either in serious or critical condition right now. I'm not saying thoughts and prayers, but no, it is sad. He's 68 years old. It's sad that he might not make it to 69, the best age. You're not too happy with that?
I didn't realize. I thought he was already 69.
No, I mean, he's always 69. Yeah. But Ric Flair, he has lived a hell of a life, and here's hoping he gets to live a little more. But yeah, it's not looking great for the Nature Boy.
Oh, God damn it. I actually watched The Wrestler last night, not the 1974 version. Have you ever seen this?
No, but Laps fan did an episode about it.
It's damn near unwatchable.
Yeah. It's the AWA.
It's so bad.
It's a promoter booking himself into a movie about himself. It's kind of insane.
Also, Vincent McMahon is in it for a second or two. Ric Flair, R-I-C-K Flair, is thanked in the movie. I don't remember seeing him. Dusty's in it.
Yeah.
Dusty's got a few of the best scenes, and those are the only good. It's so bad.
Right.
Ric Flair.
Why did you watch this?
Because it was on my list of movies I wanted to watch. Yeah. My wife is not here. You think she's going to sit through The Wrestler from 1974?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I also watched it because I knew Ric Flair was associated with it and what's going on. And we need more guys like Ric Flair. This is not a controversial statement anyways, because he was able to unite the country. Let's play the Waka Flocka clip. This is the kind of guy. This guy is from Charlotte, North Carolina.
No, he's not. He's from Minnesota.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Ric Flair's from everywhere. He's on everyone. He's from Space Mountain. He's a good man, but he's also a horrible man. He's in terms of like personal life, horrible, horrible man. Yeah. Watch his wife swap with Mick Foley. It's really good, actually. It's on YouTube. This is my favorite fake ad campaign during the 2016 election.
Earlier this year, I announced my presidential campaign, but due to Article 2, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution saying I'm too young to run, I've been forced to leverage bureaucratic loopholes just like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I'm now introducing the perfect running mate, Nature Boy Ric Flair!
Woo! Waka Flocka! My brother, the greatest rapper in the world today, wants Nature Boy to be his running mate. Are you kidding me? Doctor, what do you think?
I like it.
Doctor, what do you think?
I love it.
You know what? You know why he likes me? Because he knows I'm a kiss stealer. Wheel and deal. Limousine ride. Jet flying. Son of a gun. And I'm having a whole hard time keeping these alligators on me, okay? You might put your hand right here, little dog. Me and Waka Flocka.
What is the female population of the world thinking about right now? Are you kidding me? You can have Waka Flocka and the Nature Boy on the same ticket now. Register to vote. We won't lose. Waka Flocka. Woo! 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 And the Nature Boy. Oh yeah. All night long. Oh. Woo! Rocket's beautiful and white's out of sight. Here we are side by side. Vote! Waka Flocka! Nature Boy, Flair Flame, 16, make America woo again.
That's nice.
No, it's nice. He brings people together. I mean, Ric Flair, even as a heel, united. And it's interesting that Dusty did this too, but I think white wrestling fans, black wrestling fans all found something in Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes. Dusty, because he affected the Petsuave black preacher man, but Ric Flair, just because he was like kind of he took that swag of that went from Gorgeous George to Ali to the next level, and when a lot of like people in pop culture now, especially in hip-hop, were coming of age, Ric Flair was on TV.
Another reason why Ric Flair was great is because you understood his motivations 100% of the time.
He wanted to get paid and laid.
Yeah, that's it.
That's easy.
That's great. But he was
it's the real American dream. Now,
don't ever die, Ric Flair.
Yeah, and 30 for 30 looks like it's November 7th, so we'll see what happens with that. It's the 30 for 30 is going to be, even from just the trailer, tragic whether he's alive or dead.
Yeah.
So
as really, opposed to all of the other 30 for 30s.
All those uplifting 30 for 30s. And a tragedy sooner.
Oh, God.
This SummerSlam card. Okay, so this weekend, it's a big weekend for wrestling. The WWE is in Brooklyn. They're at the Barclays Saturday and Sunday. It's the second biggest.
And Monday
pay-per-view.
And Tuesday.
It's Tuesday as well?
It's four nights
around. Four nights. Okay. It's going to be a lot of wrestling, especially for me. I'm going to a wrestling show at Nova Pro on Friday. It's a lot of wrestling.
That's your appetizer.
Yeah, no, it's a good
We should
appetizer.
Do the quick plug for that show because it's got my favorite name of any show this year, and it's because of a song.
Yes, so it's called Nova Pro's Cool for the Summer. It's Friday, August 18th at the Fairfax JCC, I think.
Isn't there somebody good on the card?
Yeah, it's the Progressive Liberal versus Money Green. progressive liberal. Go back in the show feed. Bill, get Brandon's interview with him.
You can find all that at youmethemeverybody.com and go to the iTunes feed, or if you're on our SoundCloud page, it might be there. We only have a handful. We definitely have the most recent episode and then a handful of the best. So like the interview with Jim Ross, the chat with Linda McMahon, which actually happened. That's such a weird
thing.
It's crazy.
We live
in
a
weird world. Weird world. Okay, so
let me just, can I promote that show?
Yes, by, please.
And also promote pro wrestling and why it's amazing. A short story. At the last Nova Pro event, a female wrestler cut a promo on the promoter, a new father, saying that she hopes he's a better father than a promoter because he sucks at this. He didn't give her the opponent she wanted. And he came out and was like, you mentioned my family, that's too far. He's walking away. She grabbed him, spun him around, threw a fireball in his face, ran out of the building, was chased by other wrestlers. He booked her in a match against Keith Lee, who is 6 foot, 350-pound black guy who can do moonsaults, which is a backflip. He's an incredible athlete. You're to bask in his glory. That is his catchphrase. He will be facing Angelus Lane, who basically comes out to like Rob Zombie songs, and is pretty badass, but she's not 350 pounds. But wrestling's great because we're going to have to cheer for Keith Lee in this grudge match where he's defending the promoter's honor. Wrestling's great. That's Friday. Saturday, NXT. I know you don't really keep up with this. I just want to mention it because it could be the opportunity that for Asuka to drop the belt.
I love Asuka.
Yes. Asuka has had the belt for over 500 days. It's a streak. It's longer than Goldberg's streak.
It's not. The problem with this streak is it's not because Asuka's not great. She is great. Mm-hmm. Her opponents have not been great. I don't blame them. Yeah. They're just not as ready.
Right. And so the best thing for everybody here is for her to drop the belt, come to SmackDown. SmackDown needs a heel that's not a moron and can actually wrestle. And Asuka needs to come in as like, yeah, I was just champion for 500 days. Try me. And just come in as the super heel who can actually wrestle. That'll be something to watch. Also, they've done this 2 years in a row. They did it at NXT Brooklyn 1, where Asuka was in the crowd with Ric Flair and Sergeant Slaughter to say, hey, she's going to be in NXT. The next year was Bobby Roode, who has now been the champion for a couple hundred days. So this year it's probably going to be Adam Cole, who they just signed from Ring of Honor, long rumored, and potentially he could be in a big angle with a big faction of some of the guys they brought in, Leo Rush, Donovan Dijak. So that's to be something to watch on Saturday, where NXT usually steals the show from Sunday.
Now, Sunday is SummerSlam, and for those that are listening to this because you're interested in politics and this is somewhat of a divorce from it, SummerSlam is the Smarks version of WrestleMania. It's for the wrestling fans. The problem is this year, we don't really know who this is for. It's definitely not for the Smarks. This is not a bunch of dream matches.
No, it's they had the dream matches and then they rearranged the names. I don't want to go down the card one by one, but I kind of grouped it together. The problem with this is the card's all over the place. There's about 12-13 matches as of podcast time, two in the pre-show. First, there's a couple retreads.
Really quick, who's the pre-show?
So there's a couple retread matches that are on the pre-show.
Oh, I see. I apologize.
No worries. So basically, there's a cruiserweight title match between Neville and Akira Tozawa scheduled for SummerSlam. They did that match on Monday on Raw, and they put the belts on Tozawa, which is great. Titus brand worldwide, a lot of fun. But now the rematch is on the pre-show. New Day and the Usos have been fighting for months. They will probably keep fighting after SummerSlam. They just had a match on Tuesday. It's a little bit of a different lineup, but it's the same match also on the pre-show. Could potentially be one of the best matches of the night, though, because
actually,
they have great
isn't it
chemistry.
Arguable that both of those could be the matches of the night?
Yeah, I think we've seen Cruiserweight in the pre-show is usually ends up being like a 4-minute match, so that but it had the potential to be. Then we've got matches that... So also, Styles Owens with Shane McMahon as the ref. Styles and Owens should have great matches. They haven't. They've had okay matches in this build and on their pay-per-views. And with Shane involved and probably some sort of fuck finish where we've talked about Kevin Owens is going to get to throw Shane off a cage so Shane can win his father's love. We're looking for another one of those. Also on Monday, they blew Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt. They had them fight. They had Bray go over very clean and then very dirty when he poured a viscous acidic liquid, aka fake blood, on Finn Balor to awaken the demon. So we'll Now, they've already blown that he's going to show up in the demon makeup.
You have no idea what we're talking about.
I know
about.
It sounds like nonsense. Yeah, I don't really care. This is for the wrestling. The people who stay for the wrestling. So Finn Balor is a nice Irishman, and sometimes he dresses up like a demon. He looks like he has Venom's face and a Predator's dreadlocks, and then he's unbeatable.
Yeah. And they do that because he's able to sell a lot more merch and toys, and kids love it.
Yes, because
and it's cool and spooky.
It's spooky, and he's also against other spooky men, Bray Wyatt.
And when he's not doing that, he's essentially the not exactly closeted, but not exactly straight James Dean. I'm in a leather jacket and my tight tights.
He's in a
character.
Leather jacket and yes, and
showing
his
off his hot bod. And yeah. Then Bray Wyatt is
not a hot bod. No. So it's a match. If you like spooky men and hot bods and not hot bods, you should watch wrestling. So that's all the retread matches. Some of them could be really good, but we've seen them. Then there's a lot of who cares matches. Big Show versus Big Cass with Enzo Amore in a shark cage because they sell the shark cage as a toy. A match that doesn't matter. The thing with this one, there's a rumor that they're going to turn Enzo heel and he'll join up with Big Cass, which will have made this whole thing they've done for the last several months a big waste of time.
I don't care. I love Enzo. You can't, as long as you
can't teach that.
Unless you silence him, I'm still going to like Enzo.
Yes. This, unless he has a microphone in that cage, this match is going to be the drizzling shits.
What if it's like don't ever say that again. What if it's like,
that's a wrestling thing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so horrible.
Yeah.
What if it's like when Piper had to referee the I Quit match and yelled, do you quit? Like, you quit? Every 10 seconds.
Yeah. He kept asking Brett and, oh shit, who was it?
Bob. Such a bad, I don't know.
The one who was Darren Young's manager for a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the match?
No, who was the guy?
Not Bob Orton. Bob Backlund?
It was Backlund and Hart in a submission match at Mania.
It was so bad.
It was so bad. Marginally better than that, Rusev versus Randy Orton.
Here's a quick note. If you were playing a video game, wouldn't this be a fun match?
If the WWE video games were fun, yeah.
Yeah, but this is not a video game. I don't care.
No. Last year, Randy Orton got his skull caved in by Brock Lesnar, and it was unpleasant to watch. This year, he probably hits an RKO on Rusev. Cena versus Corbin. We'll get to why this one match doesn't even matter anymore in a minute. That's a match.
Okay, we're going to get back to that. Okay.
Yeah. Jinder Mahal versus Nakamura. Once again, your dream matches of John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura already happened. And both these guys are now against jobbers. One jobber just happens to have the belt. And then Naomi and Natalya, which is a match because they need a match for Naomi. Naomi's going to keep the belt for a long time because they still have it in production. They need to sell. Speaking of merch, again, Naomi... her thing is Feel the Glow, not related to the wrestling show, not related to Feel the Burn, but her belt is
it neon, literally glows
and lights up, and they're making those for kids, and Naomi's great. So that's all the who cares. Why are we actually watching 6 hours of wrestling on Sunday? The main event is a fatal four-way between four big men.
One legitimate athlete, one legitimate
Roman Reigns.
One legitimate strong man.
Roman Reigns.
One very good dad.
Roman Reigns.
And who's the other one? Oh, and one guy that's like a wrestler's wrestler.
Roman Reigns. So also in a video game for Roman Reigns. It's Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and Brock Lesnar. And that should be fun.
I'm legitimately excited to watch that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it has like... It's going to be... If everyone, like, they get some time, if everyone comes and if Brock actually wants to have fun and work a match, which he has in the past, it could be good.
This might be the best main event since Daniel Bryan WrestleMania.
Jeez, that's a...
Think about it. Think about the most recent main events. They're usually not the best. Some of them are very good. Mm-hmm. You can still get a good main event.
Yes.
But usually it's like the match before, like... two WrestleManias ago, the women's three-way, that was the best match. Last WrestleMania, it was pretty solid booking throughout, except the main event.
Right. What did AJ and Cena ever headline a pay-per-view?
I think they opened last year's SummerSlam.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to look back. It is a pretty great main event. Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks, which would be a really good match. Someone's pointing out online that Banks really does bring up...
Ugh.
Every time with the goddamn ALEXA, every time we talk about Bliss, about 5 feet of Fury, that your Amazon toy goes off. But Bliss and Banks brings out the best in people. She did it on Monday against Nia. She's willing to really put herself through hell for a good match.
If you just care about the pomp and circumstances of wrestling, which is a big part of it, and yeah, you absolutely should, this is going to be the second best intro of the night. Sasha Banks in Barclays Center had thus far the second best intro of all time. Shinsuke Nakamura Violin last mm-hmm. year is, to me, the best. So expect another great one, and I think clearly the intro of the night is going to be Finn. It's the first time he's done the gimmick, the demon gimmick, since the last time he was in Barclays.
Last SummerSlam, where he won the Universal Championship and then immediately fell apart. And then I think the match that probably, I want to say, opens the show, because it's gonna be a big pop right away. We'll see.
This is not opening the show.
Okay.
No, it's going to be Jinder Nakamura to open the show. They got to do that. They got to bookend with the belts.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Okay.
But maybe it's neither. Either way, this match will be really hot and could be the match of the night. Two-thirds of the Shield versus the Bar is what they call themselves.
I like that. I really like that name for those guys, because I understand the double meaning of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's supposed to be a double meaning of it, but from all accounts, Sheamus likes to drink.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Last year at SummerSlam, they had their first match in a best of seven that eventually the WWE found a way to split a best of seven match so that neither of them won it, and they became a tag team, and now they have the belts. And now on Monday, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins finally fisted, and so they're team again.
Okay, so Chris is not technically wrong, but now for the first time ever, I completely understand Shield fanfic.
Yeah.
I did not understand it because I wasn't watching during their mm-hmm. prime time. Their
but
heyday.
They have such sexual tension. Will they? Won't they? Just need to do it and get it over with. And that's before you even throw Roman Reigns into the mix. So that's the SummerSlam card. There's a few things we're probably look forward to, and then a lot of stuff that's just going to happen. And one of those matches that's just going to happen now is John Cena and the burial of the coward Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin, who had the Money in the Bank briefcase, kind of has been given a big push since he came to the roster last WrestleMania, seemingly entirely buried this Tuesday. So did you watch what happened on Tuesday?
It was awesome. I was watching live, mm-hmm. which I rarely do. And
once again, wife's out of town.
My wife's out of town. It was a shock. Yeah. I was legitimately surprised. And even so much happier that he did not win the belt. I thought they were going to strip Jinder of the belt mm-hmm. simply to crown Cena as the new all-time champion, because currently the only person that has more belts is Ric Flair.
Right.
And I felt like they might do this as a tribute to Ric Flair on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That made sense to me.
Yeah.
The WWE is interesting because every time you think like, oh, they're definitely not going to cash in the briefcase because they sell so many briefcases, they need the product around so kids want to buy the briefcase. They don't necessarily do that. Like, Dean Ambrose last year cashed in the night he got the briefcase. How are you going to sell suitcases if there's no suitcases? Good for them.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain why Baron Corbin got buried?
Yeah, so the quick recap of what actually happened was the main event in a non-title match was John Cena versus WWE champion, for some reason, Jinder Mahal. Cena was about to win with a super attitude adjustment, and Baron Corbin slid in the briefcase, broke up the pin, caused a DQ. Now, he has the briefcase. He's facing John Cena on Sunday. The briefcase, for people who don't know, gives him a title shot at any time he wants against the champion. He takes the briefcase, he knocks out John Cena, and then he leaves. And then he realizes, wait, I'm carrying a briefcase, and the champion is dead because John Cena killed a man. I should go in and get this. So he then makes the worst cash in of all time as they rouse Jinder for about 5 minutes, make sure he's able to fight. Then Baron Corbin is somehow distracted by John Cena's presence, turns around, gets rolled up. Jinder Mahal retains his belt. Baron Corbin has lost his opportunity, now goes into SummerSlam as a big old loser against John Cena, where he will also probably lose, because why do anything with this guy anymore? You've just taken away the one thing that made him interesting.
And the show ends with American Patriot John Cena mocking dumpster fire Baron Corbin.
Yes, and so the dumpster fire 2 weeks ago, John Cena, in a promo with Corbin, called him a dumpster fire. He called him skinny fat, which is one of their insults for guys who don't have growth hormone assisted physiques. And that was kind of the writing on the wall that they weren't totally, that they were changing their mind on this Baron Corbin push. Wasn't helped by the fact that over the last week, Baron Corbin tries to be Kevin Owens on Twitter and doesn't always work.
There's only one Kevin Owens, guys.
Yeah, and Kevin Owens can troll people, and like someone who'll say something to him, he'll find the right person to make fun of. He will put their profile picture or their profile on blast. He'll go through their old tweets. Like, he really knows how to do it. Baron Corbin just shoots kind of generic, like, you're a loser to people. What have you ever done? And he did that recently, and the guy went, Vince didn't think I was a loser when I met him on my deployment in Afghanistan, and then posted a picture of him in uniform with Vince, and then Corbin had to backtrack and go, well, thanks for serving our country, you suck, or something. But it was embarrassing, and he basically got trolled online. He didn't really hold his own against Cena, and I think they've soured on him. So
I'm very happy about this, because
you don't like Baron Corbin.
I don't like Baron Corbin.
So Baron Corbin, ex-football player, whose gimmick is
also
I'm a jock. I just
former Golden Gloves champion,
yeah,
which is important because CTE adds up.
Yeah. So Baron Corbin, whose gimmick is all you nerds took 10 years to get here in the Indies. I made one phone call. I have a really bad hair and a skinny fat body because he lost a lot of weight from when he was an offensive lineman.
So there's he is an offensive lineman. There's another tie to this. He also made fun of Dave Meltzer in the past 7 days. You don't do that.
Yeah, don't make fun of Big Dave. You're not going to get the 6-star matches like that. So Baron Corbin versus John Cena, perfunctory at this point. And I was actually kind of looking forward to Nakamura taking the belt off Jinder, Corbin cashing in, and a little feud with Nakamura and Corbin. They just had finished working, but it's fine. And at least gives Nakamura a good chase. This hasn't been a good chase. He's not winning the belt this week.
Yeah, but I don't care because it's still Nakamura. Like, Nakamura's the one guy where I want to just see wrestle. Everyone else, I want to see Kevin Owens talk about how great Kevin Owens is.
Yeah, so the problem is you're not going to see Nakamura wrestle because
he doesn't want to.
So
there's two things we need to add. Mike Sempervivi is back on the show. He is part of Wrestling Observer's radio show, so that's a good tie-in. It's a pretty long conversation. It's clearly not a fun conversation considering what's going on. And
The SummerSlam build has been horrible.
We talk a lot about what's been going on. We do talk a little bit about John Cena, but before we get to that interview, I want to play the Ad Council ad that John Cena released. John Cena personally.
Yeah. He was like, hey, Ad Council, I got something.
I got an indie film I made for you guys. But this is the John Cena ad from 2016 that came out on July 4th. And every time I get super bummed out, I think of this guy and this ad. And I'm not joking because it makes me happy.
Yeah.
And we're going to play that. And then we'll be our conversation with Mike. Follow him. It's at Science Sempervivi, SEMPERVIVE. Listen to him every Monday through Friday on Wrestling Observer's radio show, which is available on pretty much every network possible. Except Sinclair Broadcasting Network, owners of Ring of Honor. We'll get to that in a future episode. It's going to be an interesting thing. Do you have any plugs?
Nova Pro Wrestling. And you can read about Nova Pro if the woman who threw a fireball in the match against the 350-pounder didn't pique your interest. Look for an article called Mat Men on Washington City Paper. Wrote that earlier this year about Nova Pro.
Oh, here's the thing. Vice News made that amazing... this is actually what's going on in Charlottesville. You've written a few things for Vice News.
Yeah.
Read about the New Day. You want to feel good about life? Read about the New Day in Vice News, and you wrote that. Read about that's the other UFC story. It's not a fun story.
No, but the New Day one's good.
Yeah, read the
New
Day one.
Makes you feel
good
about America and WWE.
Exactly. See me on September 1st, Friday, September 1st, at the Wonderland Ballroom. That will be fun. That's in Washington, D.C. That's home of the Trump International Hotel. So without a further ado, here's John Cena reuniting the country, and then a very long chat with Mike Sempervivi.
Patriotism. There's a word thrown around a lot. It inspires passionate debate, and it's worn like a badge of honor, and with good reason. Because it means love and devotion for one's country. Love. For a word designed to unite, it can also be pretty divisive. You see, there's more to patriotism than flag sequins with onesies and rodeos and quadruple cheeseburgers. Patriotism is love for a country, not just pride in it. But what really makes up this country of ours? What is it we love? It's more than just a huge rock full of animals like cougars and eagles, right? It's the people. Do me a favor. Close your eyes for a second. I want to try something out. Picture the average U.S. citizen. Think about it. How old are they? What's their hair like? How much can they bench? You got one? Okay. So chances are, the person you're picturing right now looks a little different to the real average American. There are 319 million U.S. citizens. 51% are female. So first off, the average American is a woman. Cool, huh? Is that what you pictured? 54 million are Latino, 40 million senior citizens, 27 million are disabled, 18 million are Asian. That's more people in the U.S. than play football and baseball combined. 9 million are lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, more than the entire amount of people that live in the state of Virginia. Around 10 million are redhead, 5.1 million play ultimate frisbee, and 3.5 million are Muslim. Triple the number of people currently serving in the United States military. Almost half the country belongs to minority groups. People who are lesbian, African American, and bi, and transgender, and Native American, and proud of it. We know that labels don't devalue us, they help define us, keeping us dialed into our cultures and our beliefs and who we are as Americans. After all, what's more American than freedom to celebrate the things that make us, us? I mean, it's stitched into the stars and stripes of this country, from the Constitution to Gettysburg, to our motto, E Pluribus Unum, from many, one. It's even in our country's name, the United States. This year, patriotism shouldn't just be about pride of country. It should be about love, love beyond age, disability, sexuality, race, religion, and any other labels. Because the second any of us judge people based on those labels, we're not really being patriotic, are we? So let's try this one more time. Close your eyes. Picture the average Joe or Joan or Juan or Jean-Luc. The real people who make America, America. And this year, whenever you feel the urge to don those star-spangled shorts, set off fireworks the size of my biceps to show love for our country, remember that to love America is to love all Americans. Because love has no labels.
You were on the show in June, and it was illuminating because other than a handful of guys that are actually wrestlers or actually announcers, you cover this more than anybody else. This has been, I think, a watershed week. What, I know this sounds absurd considering we're 200-plus days in, the presidency, the title run, and then probably like 600 days of the campaign. We should have known better. But with what happened in Charlottesville over the weekend, it seems like you can't just blanket be on Trump's side. So, do you see any potential pushback from either Trump supporters or any WWE fan that knows about the connection between the two?
I'll have to see about the WWE part of it. I don't know if that's going to particularly matter too much. Wrestling fans right now seem to be really good at being able to kind of compartmentalize things when it comes to Linda and her role with the Small Business Administration. I think they're doing the same thing when it comes to Ring of Honor and Sinclair Broadcasting, because you can make the same arguments there if you so chose about Sinclair's business practices and their spread that they're starting to get. So I don't know if that is necessarily going to matter too much. Now, on the flip side, as far as Trump supporters, I guess it depends on which ones you're talking about. Because if you're talking about the Republicans that have been suffering from Stockholm Syndrome this kind of this whole time, I guess for some of them, this could be the final straw, although there have been very few to really come out. And there have been some. I mean, there have been several that have come out strong, but it's not like it's been overwhelming. We were all sitting here this morning as we, you know, recorded on a Wednesday, that, you know, okay, well, let's see, does anybody resign? You know, which direction does this go? And we got resignations. They just came from the business council. So there's that, although that is a separate set of you know, questions too, over is that more because your heart is into it and you believe that it's right, or because you believe that it is going to affect business? And that's a separate issue as well too. But as far as Trump's supporters go, no, this is what they elected him for. This is, if you were one of the, you know, people that he has left that was down with him from the start because you liked what he said and you weren't just a Republican that was going along for the show, I don't think he said or did anything that is going to take you out of his camp. I think, again, I don't know how it got to this point, but I guess if you were one of those people that voted for Obama twice and voted for George Bush twice and voted for Clinton twice and voted for Reagan twice, which many people have in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in many parts of the country, that also voted for Donald Trump this time, I think this may be the exclamation point. This may be the final stop for those people. But as far as Trump's true base, nah, I don't think this affects anything at all. In
sure.
fact, I think they agree.
Sure, of course. But that's roughly 15 to 20% of the supporters, if he's got 35, which means 15% of people, which is clearly enough to swing an election.
Yeah, but the 15%, okay, so you know, you take Trump's, the hardest of hardcore people who he, you know, stirred up, and then you add in the, you know, any evangelical that, which is, it is amazing when you think about it, but any evangelical that would still continue on his trail. I mean, I think you get to that 30, 33, 34% number, you know, but it's, again, the 25% base that he has that is just like him, there's nothing that's going to shake those people. There's nothing that's going to shake those people. And we've seen the other ones start to erode and fall off. But the thing is, we you know, again, everybody will find out what happens in 2018, or coming up with the midterms, you know, that we'll have coming up. We'll find out more about the situation then. But I'm kind of looking at it with, like, when you look at the Senate, there's 33 seats open in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
There are obviously all the spots open in the House. You have a bunch of governors who are up at a time where there are more Republican governors than ever. You look at what Cory Gardner has been able to do, and he's running the Senate end of things. And the guy who had helped him out a ton, Chris Hansen, is also in there with him. And they have a good feel and a good pulse on things. And you kind of see the way the Republican machine is. It's like, again, I don't know if what Donald Trump does, he is so all over the place. I don't know if this affects on the ground. There's going to be some carryover from it for some vulnerable people, but I just don't see a seismic shift just because Donald Trump's an idiot that is going to cause that many people on the Republican side to just suddenly go ahead and vote Democratic. I think, you know, you have places like Montana and West Virginia with Manchin there. Again, they're still going to be shaky no matter what anyway, mm-hmm. you know, on either side. So I don't know. Well, I'll have to find out. It doesn't feel right now, though, still, even though this is such a dumpster fire, that it really, when it comes to how everything shakes out politically on the ground, I don't know if there's going to be any dramatic difference. It'll be interesting to see, but right now it just doesn't feel that way to me.
Speaking of dumpster fires, Baron Corbin was reprimanded for his Twitter usage in the past 7 days. Someone that might have been reprimanded is Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is one of the few WWE superstars that has shared the somewhat infamous now Nazi symbol with a cross, an X against it that has been turned into a 45. Have you heard of any backlash, no pun intended, for any of the wrestlers in any company that are espousing their political beliefs?
No, I mean, it's more of a cringy thing. You know,
oh, yeah?
Like a lot of social media. I mean, it really, it's just one of those things where, you know, if you're a little bit older and you see these guys doing this stuff, and it's just kind of like, you kind of wince a little bit. Because, you know, it's, look, everybody's got the chance to express themselves, but from a business point of view, obviously you don't want that. You know, kind of back to like Blackstone and Schwarzman pulling out today. It's like, you know, are you doing this because it's really something you believe in, or is it going to affect your bottom line? When it comes to these wrestlers, it's like, you know, I know you really believe in this stuff, but do you have to kind of do it right now? It's like the NFL. You know, we want you to endorse products and stand up there and beat your chest for the things we want you to, but don't do anything that you know, might be the slightest bit controversial that we may not like. And this is all sort of the same way. If in a perfect world for them, nobody would be saying anything about anything except for their storylines, but you have to take everything kind of by an individual basis and by a per-person basis. Obviously, a John Cena or somebody like that is going to have more leeway than a Baron Corbin or somebody like that to express their thoughts. But, you know, I think we talked about it a little bit the last time I was on. It's just one of those things where, look, if you – as long as you're not – burning the house down or really doing damage to your company or whatever, these guys should have the right to express their opinions. And if, you know, there is kickback about, you know, a back on what they say, well, that's just how it goes. You know, you can try to build it into a storyline or something like that if you want. But I mean, again, if you give these guys the ability to go out there and do that, and you don't limit them and you want them to use it, you know, you can't be upset if they use it for a political thought or something like that that they absolutely believe in. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. I don't have a problem with it with the NFL, you know, with the Bennett brothers, I guess, being, you know, in a lot of people's ire. But, you know, these people have the right. They should have the right. You want them to go out there and promote. You want them to go out there and be the face of everything when you want them to be. You know, these are real humans, too, with real thoughts.
Someone that's not a real human is Jinder Mahal, because Jinder Mahal is a Canadian wrestler who happens to be of Indian heritage, who now is a who is the current WWE champion, and he's a bad guy, and the reason why he's a bad guy is because he's from India. So how does Jinder Mahal supposed to act in any of this, considering that the majority of the WWE fan base does not care that he is from India and is rooting for a guy that is from Japan in the next match that they have? It's not like the WWE Universe is made up of just super American bros from 1984. Things have changed a bit. So how do you think the WWE is rationalizing the current Jinder Mahal push / we hate India even though it's our new market? It's very, very confusing. And please, if there's any light that you could possibly shed on this most confusing storytelling since anything Bray Wyatt has ever done, that would be appreciated.
Well, I mean, it's just Vince, you go back to what you know. And wrestling knows xenophobia. Wrestling knows stereotypes. Wrestling knows caricatures. And that's what wrestling knows. And at one point, we had Jinder Mahal from India. We had Daivari, who's from Minnesota, but we're going to go ahead and say Iran. We had Lana, who is from Florida, I believe, but we'll go ahead and say Russia. We had Rusev, who is from Bulgaria, who was a Russian, then went back to being a Bulgarian again. And who else was it? There was another, Neville, who's from Newcastle, England. And I'm missing a couple other people as well, too. But basically, at the same time, Kevin Owens from Quebec, did I say that?
You did not.
They were all basically doing the same angle. You don't like me. I'm not from here. I don't like you. You don't like me. I don't like you because you don't like me. And the reason you don't like me is because you don't like how I look or how I talk or the country I'm from. Now, I don't know why, especially nowadays, why I should hate Quebec or India or anywhere else, but that's what they know, and that's what they go back to every time. There are so many. I live in a state where the second biggest religion is Buddhism, where there's an incredibly strong South Asian Business Association. Many other people do as well, too. The Sheik in Bobo, Brazil, ate for years on Toronto and Detroit, playing off of the fact that there were ethnic, you know, there was ethnicities there, you know, that it's just, it blows my mind. How many Indian people are in this country? How many Indian people are in Canada? Tons of them, either in school or work, or they moved here, or there's business or whatever it is. Why are you not building these people? Why are you worried about building in a country where you're not going to get anywhere near the numbers for your network that you think you can get? So why are you doing that? Why aren't you sending Jinder on a journey? You had him bottom out against Mojo Rawley and Rob Gronkowski. Why don't you build this guy up instead of just throwing him in a position that we can't believe and saying, you know, he's the champion now because of India and you hate him because of India? How about this dude takes a journey where he takes his people on his back like he's saying he's going to do, and he can be a babyface and he can reach out to every kid in this country or in Canada that doesn't have a hero, didn't have an Indian hero, and maybe only had the great Khali, but Khali's gone. I could be that guy. How hard of a story would that have been to tell? But they don't tell those stories. They fall back on what they know. They fall back on the same old thing. And it's a separate issue that we could go on forever about when it comes to the xenophobia and racism and all that sort of stuff in wrestling, but it just falls back onto the stereotype and the lazy storytelling. There's a million one ways you could have told that story. There are a million one ways you could have told any of the stories that I told you at the beginning about with all of those guys working the same gimmick. But instead, they're all working the same gimmick basically on the same shows.
Okay, hold on. So, yes, you could reference the Sheik and you could reference territories, but live events are different than a weekly episodic television series that is reached across the world. It's completely fine. I know this sounds weird to rationalize in 2017, especially this week. It's completely fine to play on those stereotypes to garner certain reactions in a bubble. But clearly, we do not live in a bubble. Therefore, in 2017, it does not make nearly as much sense as it did from, say, the entire Hulk Hogan run. The original Hulk Hogan run in the WWF makes complete sense. It's Cold War. It's blatantly for kids, right? But then the Attitude Era happens, and in the Attitude Era, correct me if I'm wrong, there was not as much of this stuff going on. The only thing I could even really think of is the Nation of Domination. And depending on where you stand, was there a lot more that I'm just completely forgetting? I think there was definitely the homophobia, but I'm not remembering.
Well, I mean, it was brutal. The Attitude Era is horrible.
In terms of the xenophobia?
A lot of different reasons. Look, there, when it comes to the Nation of Domination, you had a pure race angle. I mean, it was a nothing but a race angle with Los Periquas and the Harris brothers and Brian Lee, the group was called. So you had that going on. You had the South African Truth Commission, which again, you know, with Kurgan and Don Callis as Jackal. So you did have some of it. Plus, on top of it, you had basically what they want to do now with Jinder in a weird way, which is you had the Heart Foundation, which would be heels in Canada or baby faces in Canada, but heels in the United States. And that's essentially what they're doing with Jinder Mahal now in their weird way. Talk about lazy storytelling to go back to what you know. Well, we want him to be a heel in India and then, or a heel in North America and then popular in India. Why? Why can't he just be one way either way? And it doesn't make any sense. And again, it's such to me an outdated thing, and it's such a cheap way to try to get him along. And I don't think it's helped him at all. I think he's been very, you know, he's got an opportunity, and I think he's tried to do the best with it as he can, but he still seems incredibly uncomfortable out there cutting very bad promos. He doesn't resonate in India because everybody in India knows he's not an Indian. He's a Canadian. Well, and it's cool. Okay, he's got some of my culture, but it's like the biggest stars over there are still going to be your John Cena's and guys like that. So it's like, you know, is he really helping? No, he's not. And on top of it, you basically are thumbing your nose at all of the incredibly huge Indian population, which is in North America, that you're just ignoring altogether.
Do you think that the WWE should have made some sort of reference to what happened over the weekend on Monday or Tuesday night?
No.
Okay.
But what I think they should have done was not be so stinking tone deaf and doing what they were going to do with Jinder, to have the anthem get booed and to cut the shots in the crowd of kids booing the anthem and giving the thumbs down, I thought was very pro wrestling. And it was very, I thought, slimy. I didn't like it. I'm not going to whine about it, but I will just kind of do one of those guffaws and point out, well, there's wrestling for you. I just thought it was I don't know if it bad. I think it's in bad taste, absolutely. But, you know, especially under the circumstances, I just don't like that. I don't like it in boxing when the anthem gets booed. I don't like it in anything. And it's just, to me, really cheap. And again, on top of it, why are we booing India? Why do we hate Jinder because he's from India? Why do we hate the Singh brothers because they're from India? I don't get it. You know, and they haven't, they never explain that. It's just, you hate me because I'm from there. That's how this whole thing started.
I understand that pro wrestling is supposed to be an escape from reality. I get that. But sometimes it's impossible to do that. And when you're having storylines like this, it kind of reinforces reality, even though it's not technically part of it. Do you think the WWE is missing a wonderful opportunity, in especially this summer, to divorce themselves from reality, to take storylines sort of away from maybe what's going on in the news and highlighting all the things that people are learning from things like Glow? People that have never cared about wrestling all of a sudden now have some interest because they binged watched a show on Netflix. I have not seen any real attempts to capitalize on that, and I've not seen any real attempts to capitalize on worthy escape from everything on CNN.
I think they look for themselves as an escape from CNN, the fact that they're not going to mention anything. I think they're going to go out of the way not to mention anything at all. I think that's how, I think they'll justify it in their mind on that one. You know, when it comes to like learning something from someone else, no, we can't do that. That is somebody else's idea. Now they may take that idea and mash it up and present it to you. And in fact, I would say if you were talking about the empowerment of women and Glow and the popularity of that show, I could see them going, hey, have you seen our network? Because we have the Mae Young Classic coming up here with Toni Storm and Kari Sane and all of these other people that are going to be involved in it. And I think that's probably how they'll look at it. They've never been good with real life stuff. In fact, they've usually always been pretty bad with real life stuff. So it to be honest with you, I'd like for them to dial back on some of the stuff they've done. And they could do really interesting things if they wanted to. They could do really heady things if they wanted to and really put in the time and effort to it. But as long as Vince is there, it's never going to go in that direction too far before he pulls back and you get to what you get.
Does this week's comments by Trump and this week's storytelling by Vince strengthen the idea that it's kind of difficult to change the behaviors and minds of 70-year-old billionaires?
I mean, let's be real here. He's 71 years old. He didn't have as much fun in the 60s as my mom did. I can bet you that, because she was born around the same time. And she's not like Donald Trump. And I have a feeling that they were completely different types of people. And, you know, I mean, Donald Trump is your angry grandfather spitting out crazy things. People were amazed that he could go back off of what he said a couple days ago and fall back off serpent again, and at Trump Towers, you know, cut the same promo that he did, doubling down on the alt-left and all that sort of stuff. It's like, why? That's like your grandfather at work, you know, and then he got pressed and everybody didn't kiss his ass, and now all of a sudden it's like then he lets loose again because he's angry that nobody's kissing his ass, and he doesn't understand why there's all this change. What's it going to be next? What, are we going to tear down Stonewall Jackson? Yeah, actually, we probably should do that. Are we going to tear down George Washington, Thomas Jefferson? Maybe we should move them into museums and explain the situation more, you know, because that's evolution, and we should probably kind of go in that direction. But I know people like that don't like evolution and don't like thoughts like that. And you saw it yesterday with Donald Trump doing the same thing again. And he's watching Fox and Friends at 5 o'clock in the morning the same way your grandfather would, you know, looking at the pretty girls on there. And then Stuart Varney might make a guest appearance, and his voice reminds you of John Hillerman when he was on Magnum PI, and I like that guy. And this guy makes sense. And that's Donald Trump. And he just is spitting out nonsense, and he is somebody's grandfather from Queens that's just angry, that is scared, and doesn't understand the way things are going, the same way a lot of us don't understand the way things are going. But you have to try to evolve. You have to try to look forward. You can't always, you know, resist everything and be that scared. And there's always going to be people that are. And I think his presidency has pulled back a veil on something that I think a lot of us knew and talked about. but a lot of people mainstream may forget about, which is this racism and this hatred is still out there, and it's taking on different forms, and it's, you know, burgeoning into different ways. And I think if anybody saw that Vice documentary that was embedded in Charlottesville, and anybody sees the footage of that, I think it should be a real wake-up call to people. And it should be a real light that gets shown on things to see that these people, yeah, there's a lot of them that are coming out, but there's a lot of them that are laying there in the weeds, a lot of them. And they've got their memes, and they've got their plans, and they've got their battles all set up and ready to go. So, you know, it's unfortunate, and it's sad, and he's really pulled back the light on all of it. And I don't know if that's necessarily good or bad, because at least we know that, you know, there's going to be a continued fight on this. And it's just, it's tough, and it's too bad. But it's, you know, he certainly has been the vessel for a lot of it, because he certainly has given it the platform to be espoused.
This weekend is SummerSlam. It's four consecutive nights in the Barclays Center. Donald Trump is not particularly loved in New York City. I think it's similar to D.C. and similar to Chicago, where it went like 92% not Trump. So do you think that there's a chance that you're going to see some signs that don't get pulled, or maybe some wrestlers that go off script, or maybe somebody has a message on their pants or their T-shirt? Do you see any chance of a message to the sitting commander-in-chief from the WWE universe? And while that sounds silly, I wouldn't be that surprised considering the location.
Wrestlers themselves off script? No, I don't think so.
What about Cena? Cena? Hold on. What about Cena?
No, because you see, John Cena is, well, if he does, it would be in such a shade way.
Okay.
That he'd be able to pull it off, because again, his thing with America, I mean, he can cut a promo on America like it's nobody's business. We saw it a couple weeks ago. Was it before the Owens match?
Hold on. It was before the Rusev match, where for no particular reason, he mentioned 9/11.
Yes. And it was like, but it was like one of those things where it's like, you know, whatever you think about the content, how he delivered it, it's like, goddamn, John Cena can cut himself a promo now, there can he? And that's exactly what he would do again. And he's too smart to put himself in any weird position, especially right now, trying to reach out more into to Hollywood and acting gigs and all that sort of stuff. I don't think he'd do anything to put any of that in danger. Now, when it comes to the crowd, sure. Could we get an F Trump chant or something like that? Sure, we could. Could we get signs? Absolutely. Will they get pulled? Maybe, you know, I think, you know, anymore, all you have to do is just try not to focus on them. I mean, yeah, could they get pulled? Is it possible? Sure. But I have a feeling we're still going to probably hear more of that, like, Bullet Club shirts or something like that, or large heads of Kenny Omega or Okada that were bouncing up in the background. I could see something like that happening, you know, more than any of the other stuff with Trump. But again, it's, you know, you never know, especially in the Northeast where fans... You know, Boston was an incredible crowd on Monday night. Mm-hmm. That was an amazing, amazing crowd. But you never know. You never know the way things could turn.
How close is Cody Rhodes to returning?
I don't know. If I were him, I wouldn't. I really, really wouldn't.
Because of the Hot Topic T-shirt deal?
Ball.
Well, yeah, but hear me out. He's part of the Bullet Club. Let's say that they decide we can't just keep showing Bullet Club shirts without actually hiring these guys. They bring the Bullet Club in. They put Cody over. They put the belt on Cody and his wife and make the Bullet Club faces, which I know is like, whatever, crazy. But think about this. White guy married to a black woman, and then he's your new champion in 2017, and you have all of the Bullet Club merchandise. How does this not cross over to the mainstream where Vince gets to make all of the money?
Well, I mean, that's the whole reason it wouldn't, is because these guys are making more money off of it, and Vince isn't involved in it with his vision to try to screw anything up. I mean, they haven't even hardcore touched on the racial aspect of Kurt Angle and Jason Jordan. I don't know if they're going to, you know, play Everclear's Heart Spark dollar sign and trot out Cody Rhodes oh, God, what is her real name? I almost forgot Brandy. Brandy Rhodes. I don't I would want them to do that. The better not said by WWE on some of that stuff until they prove themselves otherwise, I think the better. And I think with Cody, it's blast. He seems to be making more than enough money to get him by. The shirt sales are rolling. He has the ability to pick and choose. I mean, he is the cock of the walk that way right now, or one of the few in that he says, I'm going to work for ROH, I'm going to work for Impact, I'm going to go to Pro Wrestling Revolution, then I'm going to go to New Japan, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that. And that's it. And I think he's got such a great, the same way the Young Bucks have, where when that starts to go away and that indie love and scene starts to wane and you start looking at Bucks and you start going, okay, what do I want out of this thing? How much more time do I have left? How much passion do I have to get involved back in the grind again and go back on the road again for 250 days? You know, go back and do that stuff again, you know, he'll have to cross that bridge when he comes to it. But I think if I'm him right now, I don't make that move until that money starts to run out and you start looking at those things and they start to tilt the scale more in WWE's way. There are other guys out there that, you know, probably should be working to get into WWE sooner rather than later. You know, I thought like Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, you know, it's like, if now is the time, jump in there, you know, cause I think now would have been the perfect time for them. Them waiting any longer or saying, I'm not going to go there, I'm going to go work the scene more or something like that, bad idea. With the Young Bucks and a Cody, I still think you can ride this thing for as long as you can.
Two of the guys that are getting over with very political gimmicks are the progressive liberal Daniel Richardson, and he's sort of a local. He's in Richmond, Virginia. And then there's also Sam Adonis, who's mostly in CMLL. Do you think that while these gimmicks are very good for right now, this will help them or hinder them when it comes to getting to the WWE?
I don't think it'll have too much of an effect on them. I mean, if they want you, they're going to want you, and they can put you on ice. Now, obviously, you push it. If you push it too far, then, yeah, they have every reason in the world. I mean, if Sam Adonis starts going out there, I mean, and really, like, he cuts Trump's elevator promo or something like that on CMLL TV, and then that blows up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's when you start to change the ballgame. Now, him or whoever it is putting on the shirt and playing it up and you know, turning up the nose, you know, I don't think that's that bad, especially when how it's kind of being portrayed in Mexico, too. I mean, if he took the shirt off and decided all of a sudden he's a good guy, you know, he'd be in the Idolo tournament and everything else. So it's like, I don't know if that angle, too, is, you know, yes, is there heat to it? Absolutely. But is there 2017 wrestling heat? I think that's more of the case. And it's a good reason to boo someone, whereas we're talking about when it comes to gender in this country, where it's like, why am I supposed to boo this guy other than he really shouldn't be champion because he's not that good?
Do you think that what Kevin Owens has been doing this year is brilliant or just yet another pretty good gimmick from a pretty good guy? Personally, I'm going to weigh in before I even let you respond. He's, to me, hands down the wrestler of the year and the new face of America from a Canadian guy, from a smarky bubble guy from D.C. and a liberal elite. It's the best thing in the world.
I love it.
Okay.
I love the angle. It's because I like him. You know, I think he's really good at what he does. Again, the aesthetics, people hate me. People hate me for this, but like aesthetics matter. And when he came out and his face was on the entrance ramp, and it's like he had the video to go with it and he had the shirt, and it's like, you know, great package on top of everything else. It's like, okay, that stuff is on point as well, too. And I thought it was great. I think he's great. I think him and AJ Styles, it's not their fault. You know, those are that entire roster this year. I mean, you start thinking about WWE matches, and it's like their two biggest ones were guys who are either in NXT or were part of the UK. I mean, their two best matches were Dunn and Bate and the three-way tag title match on WrestleMania weekend.
Hear me out.
I mean,
hear
arguably.
Me out.
There are others you could pull.
Hear me out. Was Dunn and Bate elevated because of Jim Ross. And if Jim Ross is the reason why, one of the reasons why that match is so good, can't you argue that whatever match Jim Ross calls will have the potential to be as good?
No, because there was the reports of Jim Ross with the New Japan show, which was the complete opposite way of that. So I think that would be the antidote to that. I think he was very on point during the UK show, and I think, obviously, again, aesthetics matter, so that helps. But I think that match was, again, even if you don't think, if he pushed it to 5 or 4¾ stars, that still means it was a 4.5, 4¼ star match. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was still a great match. Mm-hmm. And the three-way at NXT was also great as well, too. And it's like, those were the biggest, best matches that were out there. And it's not because any of those guys are better than AJ Styles or Kevin Owens or John Cena or Rusev or Rollins or whoever. It's that they were given better stuff to work with and a better chance to present themselves out there. You know, Randy Orton is a better, I think, professional wrestler than either one of the Authors of Pain. But, like, his matches this year are going to be known for just the dumbest things happening in them because it was these ridiculous things that took place with Bray Wyatt. And that's where Kevin Owens isn't the wrestler of the year, but it isn't his fault. You know, to me, Okada and Omega and Naito, those guys deserve those spots because they weren't hindered in ring. I mean, look how many times a WWE match, it's good for 20 minutes and then the ending sucks because they have to take it to a direction because they want to go here. So they decide to do that there. And it's, unfortunately, it happens so much and it's tough and they don't have any Cena AJ matches this year or really flashy matches. You know, Brock and Samoa Joe was pretty good, you know, if you want to put that one up there, but was it something on the level of some of these other bigger matches that have taken place either in PWG or New Japan or somewhere else? I don't think so.
No, and you're absolutely right, but the wrestling isn't always about the wrestling. I mean, I would rather see Kevin Owens in a 3.5-star match and watch him do a promo every week versus pretty much anyone that could do a 5-star match. And by the way, this is like the most asshole-y thing I could possibly say from a 34-year-old who does not wrestle. I realize that. All I'm saying is Kevin Owens is so good on the mic. I don't really give a shit about the in-ring product, which I know is counterintuitive to how most people enjoy wrestling. The reason why I bring up Kevin Owens is because...
No, hey, that's in a lot of ways what they wanted you to do. You know, it's the personalities even over... You know, any of the things that were taking place in the ring. And it's like, hey, look, Barry Windham, Arn Anderson, there are Jerry Stubbs, there are a ton of guys in my personal Hall of Fame that will never make it into an Observer Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame that I couldn't imagine my wrestling life without them. Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin and Precious. Like, you know, acts like that they were really great hands or they were really good or they even had amazing runs for a little bit. But they'll never be those Hall of Famers. But without them, I wouldn't have wrestling. So I understand exactly what you mean with that. You can give somebody the greatest 5-star spectacle in the world. You can give me a 5-star lucha match. It still probably won't mean as much as, you know, a Flair Windham match or a Steamboat match that I had growing up.
Therefore, one of the worst guys on mic, Shane McMahon, but one of the guys that gives his body for everything is Shane McMahon. We are clearly leading to a Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon something. Possibly a cage match, possibly something where they could fall off of things to get their father's love. Do you think that Kevin Owens has the potential and possibility to bring up the current administration because his mother, Shane McMahon's mommy, is in the cabinet? And I know this is a total stretch and I'm just like asking the most bullshit random fantasy questions, but to me, this is the storyline that has the most fun potential and the most interesting outcome that could cross over to the mainstream for the next 6 months?
They could do it. If I was going to trust anybody with it, probably would be Kevin Owens and Shane to go out there and do it and to make it work. I still don't think they do it. I think you have so many other family members that are involved in the mix with Shane, whether it be Triple H or Stephanie, who I know we haven't seen them, and it would be, again, in theory, they would be on Kevin Owens' side, probably in anything that took place with Daniel Bryan or with Shane McMahon. Mm-hmm. You have Vince you could bring up. I think they have been You can absolutely, obviously do it. And I think, you know, obviously Kevin Owens would be great. And let's be honest, Shane would be great too. You know, to whiz back and forth with it. But I think they would be quicker to bring up Shane's kids and Shane's wife and Kevin Owens' kids. And not necessarily Kevin Owens' wife, but like bring up the fact that, you know, because Kevin Owens' whole thing was, you know, when he came up with Sami Zayn and everything was like, you know, my kids deserve to eat too. And I should have been here. And they played on that. They've touched on that you're going to take food out of his kids' mouths. So I think you would go – I could see them going more in a direction like that if they wanted to introduce family than to play that game with Linda, because they just have gone so far out of their way to not touch anything that's, I think, would be the reason why. Now, just to rewind back a little bit, I will say this. As far as not mentioning anything about Charlottesville, you know, as far as something specifically – it wouldn't hurt my feelings to have some sort of nod to it somehow by some people, or let them have the ability. And they have been pretty good about that as far as people being able to go out there a lot of times with stuff on their tape or armbands or things like that, where hopefully those things are, you know, hopefully they have the ability to give their people the freedom to do that if they so choose, feel so, in, you know, into a cause.
This is a weird time. This is a very uncomfortable time. I appreciate you taking the time out to do this. The entire premise of my co-host and co-author is the only way that Trump is ever going to not win is if he gets X-Pac heat. And for the first time in the first 200 plus days, I thought that his response on Sunday and his follow-up response yesterday might be the X-Pac heat. Clearly, some people are always going to like X-Pac, but a lot of people are going to boo, and I think we might have the point where he is booed out of the building and booed off of the roster. In your opinion, does Donald Trump currently have X-Pac heat?
Yes, he does, but there are a lot of people that just he's a visceral reaction. Now, the problem with that is, much like X-Pac, there are people have just as much of a visceral reaction the other way. And unfortunately, there's enough of them right now. And again, I'm just blown away. I really am blown away. I was there was a wrestling show for those who want to Evolve Wrestling, very small. You know, not, I shouldn't say very small companies, but kind of ripping Evolve there. But, you know, they were running their show. They had a Saturday afternoon show. And we were, all right, I work overnight, stuff like that. I did some stuff during the day. We get up and see this and, you know, catch it midstream. And I get up and then I turn on Charlottesville, you know, I turn on the news first. And it's like, it just blew me away. And I live in a part of Delaware where, I mean, I think outside of like Miami, and the Keys, like I can't think of a better place. Of course, I'm not gay, but I you know, it's Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, which I'm very close to, is such a wonderful, great, welcoming place. It is one of the best bastions, and I think in the entire East for the LGBTQ community, and it's wonderful. And there is so much great progressive things that take place. The beach is a wonderful place. But then as you go inward a little bit more, and this was a real smack in my face when I moved down here in 2001, it is very rural. It is very country. And I had grown up in around cities my entire life, Baltimore and Washington, and my family from New York. And this was my first shot at really this level of country. And the level, I mean, to put it to you like this, while I'm still stunned, you know, in the direction that things have gone, it's not a surprise. It's not a surprise at all. And I guess if there's any silver linings in clouds, and I'm such a big wuss that I always try to look for a silver lining, no matter how nasty the cloud, is that these people are emboldened enough to come out, and now you know who they are, and now we're really seeing who they are. And it's coming out of the shadows again, and racism never really goes away. But I think there were a lot of people, that whole ridiculous thought that are we in a post-racial society once Obama was elected? I mean, there's one of those times where I really hated the media and wanted to take them to task, because it's like, are you kidding? Are you out there? Are you talking to anybody? Do you, it's like that Friends thing. Do you have any black friends? You know, not just watching one that might pop up on the Friends TV show. I mean, where is your head at here? And this, you know, anger from the side of the other side has been growing and has been getting nastier. And as it's been happening, it has also modeled itself and molded itself into taking these memes and these attitudes and these assaults and fake news and bleeding it out there. And if there's any benefit in silver lining to any of this, is the wake-up call to basically take up your arms, whether they be mental. I'm not talking about taking up actual arms, but to be aware, to take your mental fight and to take your political fight and to basically wake up and see what's going on. I hope that if anything has come from this administration and the disaster that's been so far, it's that. It's to wake up and realize you can't just not vote because you're pissed off that Hillary won and Bernie didn't, or this or that or the other. You have to stay awake. You have to stay involved because times are changing. Things are evolving. And if you don't want things to regress, you better hold on and pay attention and continue to drive forward. You don't have the opportunity anymore to sit back and just go, somebody else will take care of it. You never really had that anyway. You certainly don't have that now.